Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon, 4:08 in the afternoon. And I am just so amazed that I have Dan Flint taking some time out from his busy schedule. He is getting ready to retire, but I've just been talking to him, folks. I don't really think he's getting ready to retire. How you doing today, Dan Flint?
I'm doing great, Ann. Yeah. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Well, we are looking forward to be finding out what you are going to be doing, how things are going over there at United Ministries. Understand we have a new director.
That is correct. She is came in place the 7th day of January this month, and she's in training, and she the baton or the reins of authority and responsibility will transfer to her February 1.
And who is that?
It's Rosemary Bell. Rosemary Bell is known by a lot of people here in the community because she headed up Wellness Works for probably over 20 years. And she's a very knowledgeable gal, educated gal, experienced gal. And when it came down to evaluating all the clients that we had close to 50-some resumes for my job. And she came out the strongest of all the people against the criterion that the board had established, that this is what we would like to see that person be able to do or have experience there. And so she was the number one choice of the board, and the board's very pleased. They hired her. And, of course, I had a little bit of a say-so in that. Anyway, it's going great. I'll give you a comment that she gave me, and even quoted. I'll quote her today. She was talking to somebody else and said, "This ministry is like a well-oiled machine. It just operates with a high degree of effectiveness and efficiency." And matter of fact, she even told this person. She said, "All I got to do is just sort of help steer it. They don't really need me. They could operate without me." And so those are her words,
right?
Okay? And we've been very proud of the ministry and the way it's operated over the years, how it's grown, how we've put systems in place, the dedication of the volunteers. You know, again, the ministry is only has four staff people, the executive director, the medical clinic coordinator, Donna Trapp, you know Donna.
Sure.
And, of course, we have Brenda Milford and Pam Kirby, and they are just good staff people. That's one of the things the board acknowledged in a recent strategic planning session is how good that staff is. And so from that point on, it's all volunteers. You know, all the intake workers, the administrators, the nurses.
That takes quite a bit of organization to get all volunteers being able to work together and cover the hours that
Absolutely.
Are needed, because you've got to be flexible when you have volunteers.
It's different. When I was in corporate business and in management for all those years, I could tell people, you know, what to do and how to go about it.
Be there.
But for volunteers, it is a totally different thing. And, you know, my pastor, one time when I first, considered accepting this job, he said, "You know, you're going to be working with all volunteers primarily, and that's going to be different." And I found that to be very true. I found out that I had to look at things differently as far as they were concerned and handle them differently. But on the other hand, expect high standards, expect, if you will, a character walk, especially since we are a ministry. And that's been very important. And so consequently, over the years, it's really nice being a ministry that I can sit down. We have the freedom. Again, we're a ministry. We do not get any federal funding. We have the freedom to, you know, give out tracts, hand out Bibles, pray with people, and so on and so forth. And I said all that to say this. On the other hand, if I've got a volunteer that maybe does something that we don't particularly like, I can pull him in and say, you know what our expectations are here? Our expectations are for you to walk, be a spirit walker, to walk in the spirit, Galatians 5:16. I mean, we can talk to them biblically, and it's a form of discipleship. So that's been a part of my role over the years, as well as the leader of Greater Greenwood United Ministry. Of course, the board is my boss,
mm-hmm.
Okay,
sure.
And the board will be Rosemary's boss. But on the other hand, I had a lot of control, and so I could take things and do what I wanted to do, but in regard to the leadership, you know, I used all my experience that I had with General Mills in different things. But it's just great to just sit down and disciple somebody and talk to him and say, here's what we're looking for. Here's the expectations.
Now, here's a question for you, Dan. How is it going to be to step out of that role? You're going to be on the board.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to be for you? You're going to be able to take that step back? I would think it would be tough.
Yeah. You know, when the board asked me to serve on the board, I really held off. It was about 3 weeks before I gave our chairman of the board an answer, and I had to really think about it because I didn't want to usurp or cause any problems for the new director. But they wanted to be sure that I was there because, you know, I've been there with a lot of growth and know a lot of things, a lot of detail, and I could help bridge that. And to answer your question specifically, I have the humility, I think, to be able to do that. And when we talked about humility before
right.
we went on air,
I'm talking
about power under control. That is, you know, putting others first and knowing where we are and knowing really what's going on and who's in charge. And so I feel that I will be able to help where I'm needed and also to not to meddle and not to create any problems for the new executive director. And if I see that there is a problem, then as I told the board, I said, you know, I'll just sort of pull away. But there's things that are developing that I'm going to be doing after my retirement that not only will I be serving on the board, but I'm going to be doing some counseling as a ministry right there in that building.
You're actually going to expand your counseling, aren't
absolutely.
You?
That's been my passion, to help people have a better day tomorrow. And that's sort of what I tell them. You know, I just want people to be more empowered. I want them to understand. I want them to be in a position to be stronger and set boundaries and learn how to communicate that doesn't turn people off and you know, have them to be defensive when you try to tell them something. And so after a while, when you see the things that are presented to them and how it operates and you see them begin to manifest and exercise those principles, and you can see that empowerment, you can see their confidence, you can see their self-esteem growing. And so that's been my passion, to do that for individuals.
Absolutely. And I actually understand you plan to write a book about this.
Well, as I shared with you earlier, you know, over the years, I've established a lot of written material, and it's in my computer. And so every time I sit down...
Is it backed up somewhere, Dan?
Yes, it is. I definitely have it on a thumb drive, and I've already transferred it to my personal computer at home.
Okay.
And so that's my plan, is to put this together in a booklet, whether it's one or two books. And I hope over the next year I'll be able to really get into it and complete it. We'll see how it goes. But a lot of people over the years that I've counseled says, why don't you write a book? Why don't you put that in a book? And so, matter of fact, many of them will say when I run into them years later, well, I still got that folder. I've got all this stuff in the folder. And so I just say, yeah. You know, internally I say, yeah, that's great. And as a result of it, you're doing a lot better in life too. And they are. They will admit it. So it's sort of a precious thing to witness.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, some of the things I want to talk about here today is what's happening with society, and everything is in relationship to this. But right now it's time for us to hear a quick word from our sponsors. And Dan Flint is going to be with us the whole hour. He is retiring from Greater Greenwood United Ministry and, of course, the Free Medical Clinic. We'll talk more about that. Hey, if you've got a question for Dan, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, here with Dan Flint, just talking about the Affordable Care Act and how things are going at their Free Medical Clinic, and has it had any effect. Dan, you were just telling me the amount of free medications that you have given out over the last year, or the free clinic has, not you personally, but the free clinic has given out. How many dollars is it?
Yeah, like I said, last year we gave away around $476,000 of free medications to our patients, and this year, 2013, $553,000 in value of free medications to our patients. And that's due, of course, there's several things that helped that increase. Bottom line is, that's what the people got. And that's a lot of money. And
Do you have to pay for these?
Fortunately, for the majority of it, a lot of it now does come out of our budget. Matter of fact, we are $35,000 just on medications alone in cost override over and above what we did last year. So yes, a lot of that comes out of our budget, but the majority of it, probably about 94% of that, comes free from the pharmaceutical companies. So we have now a staff person. We used to try to do it with volunteers, but it was so massive where we have to send in paperwork on each patient. We send it to the pharmaceutical companies, and then they send us the medication free for that patient. And so that takes a lot of work. A lot of paperwork.
I was wondering how, because I know that the pharmaceutical companies have been cut from giving out free samples. So I was wondering how they were doing it. But it's actually coming from the pharmaceutical company to patient.
Through our application of these patients. But the other thing that you just mentioned, where when the pharmaceutical companies used to be sort of lucrative in giving doctors' offices and things and samples and so on, and we used to get those.
Yes.
But that got cut back because the doctors' offices got cut back. So we have to work harder to get it, as well as we have a greater cost individually out of our own budget that has to – is there, and we have to keep figuring out how we're going to get more money each year to offset those increased costs on medication.
That's a big pressure, isn't it, for a board to think constantly how to raise the monies and everything to do this type of thing. There's a lot of pressure on just any, I'm not just talking about United Ministry, but any board that is a nonprofit that is trying to do good things out there in our communities. The big problem is coming up with the dollars to be able to do this.
Yeah, and the board reviews our financial statements, and of course our treasurer, who's a board member, does the financial statements each month. And they're constantly aware of what's needed out there, and they also do try to help, mix with the community and build relationships for donors to give to us. But the primary responsibility for reaching out to get those extra dollars falls on the back of the executive director. For example, a great area of my work in the past 2 years, and we'll be on the new director, is going out there and reaching out there, pulling grant monies from South Carolina Free Medical Clinic Association, with the help, of course, self-regional hospital or Memorial. Well, I'll call them hospital. Okay.
We know self-regional. Yeah,
self-regional healthcare. Okay. Now we got it straight. They give us an annual grant, but they're pretty much like we're going to expect to be asking them for a little bit more money to offset, because not only has the medication costs gone up because we opened up that fourth day free medical clinic, our costs on medical supplies increased significantly, and so consequently. We're constantly having to be creative and understand what's available out there and go after it and ask for that help in those areas, as well as medical equipment. We're doing fine. Our pill counter breaks down. Well, those things aren't cheap. And then we wanted to get a portable electrocardiogram piece, and that was not cheap. So we have to try to reach out there and find somebody that will help cover that cost, because our costs, as I've just talked about, medications, medical supplies, equipment, and different things of that nature, our budget just keeps increasing and increasing and increasing. But there's no fluff in there. It's needed, and we've got to touch the lives of people that we minister to through the Free Medical Clinic and the Crisis Ministry. And it takes money to do that, to pay their electric bills, their rent bills, the medical costs, and so on and so forth.
Now, how is your relationship as far as the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare? How does that work with what y'all are doing?
Well, you'd think and logically that it would diminish what we're doing.
Exactly.
But as of right now, it's not. As I mentioned to you earlier when you and I were talking, is that there's still a lot of confusion out there. A lot of people haven't signed up. A lot of people are afraid to sign up. It has not affected us because our numbers are up in all the areas. And so consequently, as I mentioned to you, where we are and we will stay, we don't see anything really happening and diminishing anything greatly, at least for the next couple of years. And there's still those people, they're what we call in the donut hole, or caught in the gap, or as of yet do not have any resources for medical care. And so that's where we are. And so we don't see this thing decreasing and diminishing much. Maybe in 2 years we might see something happen. But right now it's full speed ahead. Our numbers are increasing. What we pay in medications, like I said, is going up this year, and we expect it to be the same this coming year in 2014.
Yeah. That's a big responsibility to be able to
just
bring that
to let
in.
You know, and people are listening. We are very much in tune with South Carolina Free Medical Clinic Association and National Free Medical Clinic Association, who's keeping us very much advised. We're members of them. We pay a membership, and so consequently, we're pretty well aware of what's going on. We're not operating blindly. If we see any opportunities, we're going to, take advantage of them. And
sure.
That's just where we are in listening to the counsel of them, listening to what they're providing for us. And also, too, we'll reach out to them for some additional financial help.
Sure. Now, one of the things about United Ministry that I've always admired is that you got to fill out an application. It's got to be verified. And when we have people that are going around to different places in the community, you want to make sure that you are helping people that are truly in need.
That's correct.
And I think if I am giving money, I want to know that it's not just being spent on people over and over again, that you really are out there helping those that truly have need.
Yeah, and some of that come about, Ian, as I've spoken to many groups over the years and their churches, our member churches, and they'll look and they say, Dan, what are you guys doing to cut down on the fraudulent use of the system or misuse of the system? Or how are you checking on these people to validate their claim or their need or whatever it is?
Sure.
And as a result of that, we put systems in place, which are probably the best systems in town of any organization, to where we get financial information from them, DSS information from them, housing authority information from them. Everything we can grab a hold of, we get a hold of and do a budget on them to assess them to see where they are in relation to the poverty guidelines. They also have to sign an authorization that we can call anybody that we want to validate their claims. And so we work very hard. I really still hang on to a statement that a prominent business leader made a few years ago. He said, Dan, you people work the hardest of anybody I've ever seen trying to get to the money to the people that really need it. And that's been our objective. And our volunteers work very hard to validate these claims of these people in their interview process, in checking with other organizations or referring them to other organizations to bring information back if it's not complete, so that we can make that assessment that this is a valid claim. These people are not trying to be huckstered or extortionists, trying to beat the system. And I'm not saying that some of them don't get through, but I'll tell you one thing. For us, it's a very small percentage compared to a lot of other organizations that don't check. And do not check that closely.
Absolutely. Now, of course, United Ministries is made up with a group of churches.
That's correct.
That's where all your support and everything does come from, the churches.
Yeah, it started with 17 original churches, and they were very sharp. They got together. They established Greater Greenwood United Ministry. They put together the guidelines that even to this very day, I think only one of them has been modified a little bit. And so they were very sound in their thinking. And so the board is made up primarily of members of these various churches. But we now have 43 member churches. Now, recognizing, too, that probably 11 are our core givers and our core members of, really helping the financial side greatly. Mm-hmm. But all those that still want to be a part of the ministry, we welcome. And see, the thing that they have realized is the benefit that we are to the churches. Again, they do not have the staff. And for most cases, they do not have the benevolent fund resources, if you will, to pay the bills and do them like they do.
Sure.
And they don't have the staff, again, to interview these people, to check them out, and so on and so forth. And they will get, if you will, hoodwinked. And they know that. And so the ones that have really tuned in, and right now they say, and people still call the churches, people still go to the churches.
Mm-hmm.
But the member churches say, you've got to go to Greater Greenwood United Ministry. And I do have some churches right now, even though maybe we come back to them and say, okay, this person, we just helped them 4 months ago. They'll say, well, I want to help them this time. So they will work that through us, and they'll send us the money to pay the vendor, CPW or Duke or whatever it is. But our guidelines are good. There's always that exception clause in there. You know, we don't, if we helped somebody 4 months ago and we're not scheduled to help them again for a few months, if it's critical and it's a crisis, we label it as extenuating circumstances and we step in there and help them.
Well, it is fascinating what you've been able to do, what all of you have been able to do there. Right now, we're going to hear South Carolina News already in progress. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We have Dan Flint with us here today. He's been the executive director over there at Greater Greenwood United Ministry for 12 years. He's getting ready to retire the end of the month. He's still going to be on the board. He still wants to expand his counseling, and he wants to write a book. We've just been talking about, off the air here just a second ago, Dan, about the volunteers and that you just couldn't do this without the volunteers.
Yeah, and they're their most precious asset to Greater Greenwood United Ministry. And over the years, I can't say enough about the volunteers, those of the served in the past, some of those who have passed on to be with the Lord, as well as those who are presently there. They make the ministry. They are the lifeblood of the ministry. And they're there demonstrating and modeling tremendous compassion and care. And, you know, as I mentioned to you earlier, and like our new director says, boy, this is like a well-oiled machine. I mean, that's because of the volunteers. That's because they know their job. They do their job, and they have that heart to be there. They want to be there. You know, they don't have to be there, but they want to be there. And so consequently, when you have a desire to help people, you have a desire to share the love of Christ through your life, and you have that opportunity to do that, that is special. And that's what makes Greater Greenwood United Ministry special, is because you can do that and there's no hindrances. It's not like in a political world or a corporate world where there's a lot of restrictions. You can be very open with your faith and you can reach out and touch the lives of people and you can even challenge them with Scripture. And and they do that. And they, like I say, when I say challenge, I want to add to that care for them and pray with them to help them through their spiritual dilemmas as well as their physical dilemmas.
Now, when you say that, you're talking about how well-trained and everything they are. You have a training program that new volunteers come into?
Yeah, and our training program is basically designed when they come in, especially like the crisis ministry, we take them through a packet of information and share with them. And then we put them with our pros, those that have been there for several years, and let them observe till they feel very comfortable. We don't put any pressure on anybody. We let them observe and then participate to when all of a sudden the light bulbs will go on and they say, man, I can do that. And they can do it well. And they do it. Of course, we have guidelines of how interview questions. We have guidelines of pieces of paper that they'll ask questions from.
Sure.
Guides them right through it. And so they can be operating almost as veterans in that intake sense and counseling sense very quickly, you know, with a lot of confidence and see things more globally because they know where agencies are. We have lists of that where we can refer people to and what reason for. And so, yeah, it's exciting to watch them. And they're, like I say, they'll jump in and do extra things. They won't necessarily just do the job. They come in and say, okay, I want to be an intake worker. But if they see something that needs to be done, hey, I'll help you with that.
Well, that is the beauty of a volunteer organization when it's well working well together. Now, do you have enough volunteers? Do you need any more volunteers since we're sitting here talking on the radio?
We're always recruiting volunteers, and we never have enough volunteers. Yeah, there's a couple of few slots that we're okay in, but there's always need for intake workers, both in the free medical clinic as well as the crisis ministry. And we'll, you know, however many we can reach out and touch and get in there, we'll do it as quickly as possible. If somebody says, hey, I want to come and I want to be an intake worker. And when I talk about an intake worker, these are people, again, that sits down with the people that have come in there in crisis. And it's common sense. How can I help you?
Right.
You know, and then you start going through.
It's really good customer service,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so then they define their problem or what their need is. And then you begin to say, okay, I can help you with food. I can help you pay some on your utility bill if that's your primary reason for coming in here today. Or they may need, like I had a situation this morning, somebody needed some legal help. So I set them up with some legal counseling. And so whatever areas that, like I said, we're a multifaceted ministry. And there's not hardly an area that we can't touch the life of a person and help them within the framework of our guidelines.
Sure.
You know, we don't just open up and say, come in, take all we have. We're going to look at you real close, and I'll tell you what your needs are. Because I've instructed the intake workers over the year in this reception. So I said, I don't want anybody going away from this ministry that's in crisis that needs help. And so the other thing that I put with that is, if we have to make a decision, we don't totally understand it, err on the side of compassion. And that's our ministry.
Important. That's important.
Yeah.
That is very important. Mm-hmm. And in today's world, things are changing so rapidly, Dan. I mean, our whole world is changing. Do you wonder where the crisis ministry is going to be 2-3 years from now? Or as you know, we seem to have people that are, the world seems to be becoming more self-centered.
Absolutely.
And I just wonder, you know, when you've got great people being able to do this job, how about the next generation and the next generation coming down?
Ann, I don't see too much of a change, and I'll tell you why. I'll base it biblically, and you can go through Scripture, and you know, the Lord says the poor will always be with us. And so as a result of that, we always need to be a one another person, meaning he gives us commands of being a one another Christian. There's myriads of listings of being a one another Christian. But the main thing of it is, you know, we're to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And if the poor is always going to be with us, the poor is our neighbor. I don't see any change in being where we need to be as a ministry to be there for the people that are going to need to help and that are the poor. And they're always, I just believe what Scripture says. If they're always going to be with us, then we need to be there prepared to help them out.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Dan, any areas of the ministry or the medical clinic, any areas that y'all are dealing with that you really feel, I don't know if we're going to make it another week on this, you know, where are we going? Are we going to have enough? For example, I would think the heating bills right now and what's coming up this next month on heating bills would be a concern because we've had such cold weather.
Yeah, and, you know, we ran out of heaters. But here's the thing that's over the years that I've experienced, Dan, that because of areas of need at different times, basically many, or I'll say, be in prayer about this, and I'll be in prayer about it. And I know at times when the money was just about gone, I'd say, Lord, you know what we need. It would be there. Just like this year, our heaters, just with the cold weather and everything, a lot of demand on heaters. A gal called me up the other day and says, our church want to help. Where can I help? I said, we need some heaters. I already have heaters. And so we had just several weeks back, we had a very serious inventory on certain foods. And so Pam Kirby, who's my administrative assistant, I said, put a note out to the churches, the member churches, tell them we need food. Woof, there it is. And then we also have annually, too, which I'm very happy to say that Greenwood County.
The county versus the city, the big food drive.
We're one of the three recipients of that drive, and so that's coming in as well.
At the end of the month.
So it seems like when a need is there, and I always go into the philosophy, you can't expect people to do that which they do not know or see clearly. So we communicate our need, mm-hmm. and then next thing I know, it's provided.
That's pretty awesome.
And so it is. I just like to say the Lord's providing, and we have a gentleman, his name is Jesse Word, who's our chaplain. And he's been there, was there at the ministry before I ever was. And to hear him pray and talk about how the Lord has blessed the ministry, and just to hear him pray is one of the greatest things you'll ever experience. And then your mind will visualize how the Lord has helped the ministry, cared for the ministry, provided for the ministry over all these years. It's just unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. Hey, I tell you what, I'm here with Dan Flint from United Ministries. He is the executive director through the end of the month. Right now, though, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. If you've got a question or a comment, go ahead and give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But We sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're sitting here talking with Dan Flint, the executive director till the end of the month at Greater Greenwood United Ministry. Rosemary Bell is taking over that position. And I know we've already talked about this if you're just tuning in. I think from what I've heard, everybody is excited that Rosemary Bell is in that position, being trained right now to take over that position. So that's a excellent thing. But Dan, you were telling me you were in Vietnam. You were talking about how in your life, your job just really became a culmination of what you're doing here today. And I think that's pretty awesome. You know, so many times we don't know what direction we really should take or where we belong or where we fit in this world. It's good to be able to have that. But I wanted to say to you, thank you for your service
to
our country.
Thank you
very much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a turbulent time back then with Vietnam, and I don't think our veterans came home to the thank you that they should have gotten.
They didn't. Yeah.
That was tough.
Yeah.
So we appreciate it very much. And as we try to wind this up, Dan, what do you think, what's the takeaway from what you've done here for the last 12 years? What are you going to take away from this, and what do you look forward to for the future for United Ministries and yourself?
First of all, people ask me about what I'd like to see my legacy be, and I would just like for people to remember Dan Flint, that he tried to help people have a better day tomorrow, and that he was kind to people and wanted people. Now, as far as the ministry is self-concerned, there's great potential there for the ministry. The board is already, I've been in strategic planning sessions with them. We've got a long-term five-year plan goal. And potentially we may open another day free clinic. There's a lot of other things that we can do to expand care to people. And most importantly, the ministry itself just still has a tremendous job, Anne, of communicating to people that don't know what all we do. We have an individual right now as a caseworker who is hired by the hospital, and she's training. And she come in and says, I had no idea you all do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to continue to do a lot of things in the community to say, we're here. We're here to help people. We'd love for you to come and help us. And that in itself is a challenge. And because here's what happens over the years. In our churches, pastors change. So
sure.
We constantly have to be out there letting our churches know, please come and visit us and see what we do. Our business leaders, they change. Okay. We've had some business leaders in the past where that business gave us a good bit of money and the leadership changed, and all of a sudden, you know, they just rise
no
up. Yeah.
No
okay?
money. Yeah.
So there's that constant pursuit. So that is part of our plan, you know, from a publicity standpoint of view, a marketing standpoint of view. We want to bring people in, as many people as we can, i.e. we appreciate you just having me here over the years, even having me here right now tonight. I'm so appreciative of that for the sake of the ministry. It's not about Dan Flint. It's never been about Dan Flint. It's been about our ministry. It's been about helping people and, you know, just what all we do. I'd just like for people to understand what all we do at Greater Greenwood United Ministry through our crisis ministry, where we help people with rent, with food, with utilities, with eyeglasses, the homeless. We give them temporary shelter, even though we have the Pathway House now, which is a homeless shelter, which
sure.
is established here. We still, every week, I'm still putting people in temporary shelter for various reasons. I'll get a call, like I just got a call from a hospital. They had a particular person over in the emergency room in a wheelchair, and it didn't fit the Pathway House. So they call me, and I say, okay, fine, I'll take care of them. Okay? And that's what we do. So we're there. We're going to do everything we can. Then, of course, through our medical clinic, I'm telling you, it's just so busy. And then we have that prescription refill program on Tuesday mornings. Tuesday mornings with the crisis ministry going and the prescription refill program, it's like a beehive over there. And then you got the pharmacists who are beautiful people, volunteers, going over the loudspeaker. Will Jane Doe please come back to the pharmacy and pick up your prescription? And so it's so professionally done and exciting. And the main thing of it is, when I see people stop by the pharmacy and pick up two or three prescriptions and come on down that hall and they've got a sort of a grin on their face, like, I'm going to be okay for a while. And if we were not there in the health care that we've provided and with the medications we have provided over the years, and we've helped thousands and thousands of people over the time that I've been there, some of these people would be dead without our care and our ministry.
Well, I think one of the things, you know, that we hear so many times about people that cannot afford prescriptions, they're cutting their pills in half. They're, you know, taking just a little bit to try to get by. And, mm-hmm. of course, they're putting their lives in bigger peril because mm-hmm. they're not taking the right amounts mm-hmm. of the drugs. So it is a huge service. And not only that, Dan, don't you do what? Don't you even help people get dental care?
Absolutely. We have a dental care ministry and basically extractions. And when I first came there, we actually had the dental office, or dentist would come right there in our building. We had one room for the dental chair and all the equipment, another room for x-rays. The dentists, though, that volunteer, and these are beautiful people, very benevolent, and they said, well, you know, because of some of the nature of sometimes some of these people needing extractions, what all goes along with that, I'd rather have them in my, these patients in my office so that I can be there, I'm familiar with everything, and I got everything I need. And so as a result of that, it's the medical ministry, dental ministry right now is operating as efficiently and just really smoothly because they come in, have a need. Where we used to have every other Thursday night, we now have a situation. They come in weekly, say, I need to see a dentist. We get them signed up, do all the paperwork on them, and then we have a gal that spearheads that calls our volunteer dentist and sets up an appointment with them so that it doesn't throw their schedule way off because at times we were maybe shoving five patients off on them in a night, where now it's all balanced. The appointments are made. They work them in. It runs very smoothly. So our numbers have increased greatly on the dental clinic side. I still call it clinic, but it's ministry because of just the nature of the way it works right now.
You know, I think that that is one thing in the, I'll use in the political arena, that we have gotten away from. And one of the great things that I think about Greenwood, every time there's a need in Greenwood, somebody steps up. Whether it's United Ministries, another mm-hmm. organization, look what the soup kitchen does, the food bank, all of these help. But in our political, in the political realm, we have more and more people on food stamps. Instead of getting them out of this quandary and into a self-sustaining, as what you're trying to do is get people on the right path.
Correct.
We have problems here, and we need more of this type of thing to get people out of the food stamps.
Yeah, one of the goals that we have, and we do everything we can, especially if somebody comes in and they don't have a job. We assess things and look at them, and we put a packet in their folder, and in the intake worker gives it to them, but go to Goodwill or go to the workforce center and apply for a job or do this. Now, we put a codicil on that end that if you don't go to Goodwill and check and see and let them help you try to find a job or the workforce center, then if they come back in again haven't done that, then we say you still got to go there. You go there and check about finding a job or doing things. So we do everything we can to give a hand up, not a handout. We do everything we can to help people to be more self-sustaining. And that's important because they're not going to just be enabled and rescued. We just don't do that. We set boundaries to keep people from misusing the system and thinking everything's a free, you know, care thing all the way along, which unfortunately is what you said, Ann. Our government system is broken. And there's a lot of people, I don't want to get into it now, but there's a lot of people that had come into us that I'm telling you, they're just totally set and comfortable with the welfare system. You know, they're getting food stamps, large amounts. They're getting their housing paid for. They're getting utility checks. And, you know, it sort of goes on and on. And so
and you and I are paying for all this.
Absolutely.
And that's what I think
absolutely.
A lot of people forget about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we have to look at that and evaluate that and decide, you know, where they are from an income standpoint. Because some of these people are getting so much welfare, you might say, where they're better off in their minds getting all this assistance than they are going out and working. And so,
absolutely.
But we are very sensitive to that. And that's
and
why
I think that's important.
That's why we're going to push people, you get a job.
Right.
You know, we're going to help them. We're going to show them how to do that. We're going to show them how they need to budget what monies they have because we do a budget on them. And so if they need credit counseling, we'll send them to credit counseling because many of the people, unfortunately, have gotten themselves in bondage, if you will, through these quick loan operations.
Sure.
And they're just, you know, over and over just
there's
locked
no
into
way
it.
There for them to get ahead.
That's right.
Because
that's
they
right.
are so.
They don't understand and don't know how to manage their money.
Well, Dan Flint, I know that you are going to still be a big part of United Ministries. I know you're counseling. Just tell us a little bit about what you do in your counseling. What's your passion for counseling?
Yeah, Ian, really, bottom line is about helping people to see clearly how to have a better life, how to be stronger, more empowered, how to learn to communicate properly, how to deal with proper conflict resolution, how to understand, have them to understand people and their differences and personality characteristic differences. And in a marriage relationship, for example, we want them to understand that, you know, male and female are different. There are gender differences. There's love needs, if you will, by some of the books that have been written. There's love languages. They need to understand that in their partner. So that the job that I try to do is to get them to understand all this and, you know, be humble and just practice principles that I share with them, like using, I'll give you an example. We call negative language versus positive language. We got these husbands and wives will say, you need to, you should have, you got to do. And I say, no, that's negative language. That turns people off. That puts them on the defensive. Use language like, well, help me to understand that. Help me to see more clearly what you're doing here. Or do you would you consider these options and let them weigh at the balance instead of you trying to tell them what to do? When you try to tell people what to do in a negative sense, they're decoding it and saying, you're trying to control me. And boy, when people feel they're being controlled, they shut down. They get angry. And there again, they need to understand how they deal with anger. And parents need to understand their parental styles. So all this is taken into consideration, as well as the biblical definition of what does the Bible have to say? What is your biblical role as a wife? What is your biblical role as a husband? What is God's will? What's your purpose for being on this earth? And that's to glorify God. We put a combination of practical principles that help people to be stronger and manifest these principles in how they operate daily, as well as to understand what God wants them to do.
Well, you got your work cut out for you. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I tell you what, Dan Flint, you know, it's always nice to sit down and talk to you, and I certainly hope, even though you're going to retire, you'll come back and see us again.
I'd be happy to, Anne, anytime you invite me.
All right. That sounds great. Thanks so much, and good luck with this new adventure you're going to be on.
Thank you very much.
And
I'm looking forward to it.
Get some travel in there. Go see your grandkids and just kick back a little bit, but be a part of United Ministries. I know they will enjoy having you there.
Very good. Thank you, Ann.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. That's going to do it for us. I'll be back in the morning, so you stay right with us on WCRS. That'll do it for me. Bye-bye, everybody.